A little bit different from the way I usually would preach, and you'll see that in just a moment as we look at some scripture verses. I remember my father, after we had had our children, and our children were still little, and we were visiting my mother and daddy, and my daddy got me aside, and he could tell that I'd probably need a little advice on raising children since I'd never done it before. And so he gave me some advice I've never forgotten. He said, the best thing you will ever do for your children is love their mother. Love their mother. And I want you to look at some scripture verses with me this morning as we see what we might can say that what my father was talking about, maybe, and what the world needs today. During this series in this month, I'm preaching and we're talking and reading the scripture on reclaiming the family. Now, I know that in a month's time, or maybe in 12 months' time, we're not going to reclaim the family. In fact, we might not be able to even do it in this generation. But I know for many, many years now, pastors, people that love the Lord and they love our country, we have seen what's been happening to the family. So it's not a question of whether we should talk about it or not, because we should. What does it mean and what does God's Word say about reclaiming the status and the importance of the family? And if you think about it, if we're going to reclaim the family, we might ought to start with mother, about motherhood, because we're not going to have a family without our mothers, the wives. Now, hold on, men. We'll talk about that when we get to Father's Day. But today, we're talking about mothers. Paul the Apostle had a lot to say, and I'm going to be looking at just one quick verse that Paul talks about. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19, Paul says, "Now husbands, love your wives. Do not be," the NIV says, "do not be bitter toward them." There's another translation from the Amplified Bible that says, "Husbands, love your wives and be affectionate and sympathetic with them." So for a husband to be a good husband that loves the Lord and he wants to have a good, strong Christian family, even Paul says, husbands, love your wives. I don't know if my father was directly quoting that out of the Bible, or maybe he had just learned that with five children and my mother. My mother was one that we all loved, even to this day. My brothers and sisters, I think, could testify to that. My mother was a godly woman, and we loved her very much. And we also loved our father, and we loved the way our father loved our mother. It was not uncommon to see my father with his arms around my mother, or them kissing each other in front of all the children. So we learned that a father loves his children. In survey after survey, some things have been found out from little children as well as adults, what America and what some of our families think about our mothers. Now, let me start off with the children. Now, James was using some in some questions that had been asked, something that a woman had learned from being a mother. And I'm sure some of you can, I could relate to some of those things he was telling there. But this question was given to second graders. If some of the rest of them taught school, you may have taught first, second, or kindergarten. If you want to know the truth, what's going on at home, ask a second grader. Ask a first grader, maybe, because they're going to be just gut honest with you. It's just going to come out. They're not going to hold anything back. So this was a survey. The question was asked of second graders. Why did God make mothers? Why did God make mothers? Now, when they tabulated all of the responses, this was the number one answer. Listen to this. From a child now, obviously. Why did God make mothers? The first answer, the number one answer was, well, you see, when I was getting born, I needed help getting out of there. Come on now. That's honesty. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mother? Why did God give you your mother and not some other mother? Answer, because my mom and me are related. Being honest. Why did your mom marry your dad? This is my favorite now. Why did your mom marry your dad? First answer. This was number one. This one's actually got two good ones. Why did your mom marry your dad? Number one answer. Well, she said she just got too old to do anything else with him. So she married him. But that one had a second good answer. Why did your mom marry your dad? Well, my grandmama says mom didn't have her thinking cap on when she married him. That's why. Some of y'all are relating to this, aren't you? Here's the last one. What would it take to make your mom perfect? Now, I thought that'd be a sweet answer to this one. What would it take to make your mom perfect? Here was the number one answer. Well, I guess on the inside, she's already perfect. But on the outside, I think some plastic surgery would help. Oh, me. My mother taught me a lot of things. Some I can share, some I can't share. The Bible is full of admonitions, though, for us as children to love our mothers, for mothers to love their children, and for fathers to love the mother, and fathers to love the children. There we've got a whole family unit. Now, we could talk about, and I have, and if you go to another church today, you'll probably find them preaching on maybe Eve. You know, Adam and Eve, that Eve. Eve, who had to watch as one of her sons killed the other son. You could jump all the way over to Moses' mother, Jochebed. That's a name you don't hear too much today. Jochebed in the, second chapter of Exodus, I believe. His mother, who had to learn how to give her son away in order to save his life. You remember that. We could go all the way through the Old Testament for mothers here and mothers there, different ones that are mentioned in their relationship with their children. But here's another survey that was taken. And it's the same answer from women, mothers, wives, every time it's taken. Ask the woman, what do you want from your husband more than anything else? What do you want from your husband more than anything else that you feel like really is what you want, what you need? Now, you'd think, well, there'd probably be some sarcastic answers like, well, I want him to buy me a new house, get a new vacuum cleaner, or how about a Mercedes, or, you know, how about $1 million in the bank? Let me tell you what the number one answer is. You can look it up for yourself. If he would just show me more affection. Now, that's not only in surveys, but I'm a counselor, my daughter's a counselor, and I do marital counseling. We both do. One of the prominent things that you'll find in families today is a lack of real, true affection and attention for each other. But this morning, we're talking about the mothers. We're talking about the wives. So what would a woman want out of her family and especially out of us fathers, out of the men today? That affection. Well, gentlemen, how can we show that affection? How can we show that affection? How can you show affection to your wife? How can we give them that attention that they so desperately need? And by the way, what does affection mean? What is that going to do? How's that going to boost a wife or boost the mother? How's that going to make her feel more like a mother or a wife? What does that mean? What affection is going to do for a mother is, let's just put it down the bottom, it's going to make her feel valuable. It's going to make her feel valuable that you have given your time for her. That's what Paul is talking about when he says, husbands, love your wives, be affectionate, be sympathetic with them. So how can we show her this? First of all, we can use words, can't we? We can use words. How many times I have heard this in a marriage counseling session? He works all day, he comes in, he goes, takes his work clothes off, he gets in his lounging clothes, sits in the lounge chair, I bring him his supper, he watches TV till he falls asleep, and then that's it. Okay, I've heard that from the ladies, from the wives, from the mothers. And you want to ask, well, where is the affection shown? Okay, where is the attention shown? One of the things that we can do as gentlemen, as those that love the Lord and want a good, strong relationship with our wives, gentlemen, guys, we're going to have to use words. You say, well, I know my wife loves me. She knows I love her. And if I ever change my mind, I'll let her know, right? That's what some of them will say. Well, I told her I loved her when we got married. Come on. The wives, mothers, to be good mothers, to be good wives, to be strong, they need some words. And what's another way that we can show that? What's Paul talking about when he says, husbands, love your wives, don't be bitter toward them, or be affectionate and sympathetic with them? Words and actions. Words and actions. Let's put them both together. I can remember my father going into the kitchen and he put his arms around my mother and he'd kiss her on the neck while she was standing over the sink or standing over the stove or something like that. Right in front of all of us. He wasn't ashamed. He was open with his love and affection. He would use words. He would use actions. That's what Paul is talking about. Love your wives. Show it with words and with actions. I did that once with my wife, Miss Jo. One time. No. Just once. I thought that I would do something very romantic. Now, gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, and I'll share this with you now, but if we need to talk later, we'll talk about it, okay? Miss Jo was in the kitchen, and I walked up to her. Now, I studied Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, and also Italian. So, is this mic on? Turn that on, David. Thank you. Okay. And I walked up to her, and I put my arms around her, and I said, oh, Cesate. Di più garmi, o la cia te mi morir. She said, whoa, that sounds good. What does it mean? What it means is, would you rub my feet later tonight? I was trying. She said, well, say it again, but leave off the interpretation, okay? Words, actions. What about the touch, guys? I don't know about you, but my wife and I hold hands more now than we've probably ever had. Y'all may have been doing it for 40, 50 years, everywhere you go. I don't know, but we do now. We do every time we go somewhere, we're holding hands. We get out of the car. But you know, there's a good reason, Al. It's because we're steadying each other. We don't want to fall. That's And we were somewhere just the other day, and Rebecca was with us. And yesterday. It was yesterday. Get each other by the hand. And then Rebecca said, hold on to him. He doesn't know where he's going. The touch, you know, right there, love. And you know, just sit and hold hands with each other. So there's words, there's actions, there's touch, mainly the attention that we give to each other. Yes, ma'am. Uh-oh. We got a rebuttal.
Don't forget what you're saying.
Okay? All right.
Don't forget what you're talking about. Not only did they have to help each other across the street yesterday, but what was so cute is even after they crossed the street, they still held hands and
yeah.
walked to the car.
Yeah. That's right. I didn't know where we were going. That's why. I knew I was supposed to cross, but then Mom hadn't told me where we're going after that, so I wasn't sure. I need constant reaffirmation of where we're going. Words, actions, touch, and then last, focused attention. Focused attention. You want an illustration of that? Maybe it's not me. A gentleman, a wife, loves to see your face when you're talking to her. She wants to see your eyes looking at her. If it's sitting in a chair, riding in the car, if it's sitting somewhere at a concert or a dinner at a restaurant, if it's at McDonald's and you're sitting there and you want to talk to her, don't be looking off out into the traffic somewhere. If you're going to talk to your wife, in a focused attention way, look at her. What you're doing is you're giving so much of yourself to that woman, to that person. That's going to make her feel so much more secure, and she knows you're sincere about what you're saying. Words, actions, touch, focused attention on that individual. It makes them feel so much more valuable because your time is precious. And a woman doing it with her husband, she knows his time is valuable. You know her time is valuable. So that value comes together when we're sitting, holding hands, touching, and looking at each other. You want to make your wife feel better. You want to make the mother of your children feel better about herself. That's the way we have to do it. I don't know how many couples marriage have been enhanced if they would have done some of these things. I'm going to give you another illustration. A couple came to see me. They wanted to get married, and they had planned it many months ahead, like 6 months or something. So they wanted premarital counseling. And I always have an inventory, a premarital inventory. It's written. And I tell them to take it home. You fill it out. Do it separately. Don't do it with each other. Bring it back. And then we'll discuss it when you come back. Well, we did this over a period of time. And we go through the inventory page after page, different aspects of their life. We look at it, see what they filled out. Well, month after month, then we went through this for several months. And we got to one area about family. Now, this couple had been together, been dating each other for 5 years. Do you think you know somebody after 5 years? Well, she could tell me what his favorite movie was because they'd gone to that movie. He could tell me about her and who her favorite movie star was. But things like that don't make for a good marriage. They don't make for a strong marriage. 5 years of knowing each other. Now we're going through about 4.5 months of premarital counseling. They've already got the venue reservation. They got me lined up for the... They got invitations. They were about to send them out to invite people to come to the wedding. And we're sitting in the office... And I came down to a question there. I looked at his and I looked at hers. And I said, have y'all talked about family? They said, oh, yeah. I said, have you talked about children? It got quiet. She wanted 3 children. He wanted none. I said, do y'all know that you've got a difference here? She said, well, we've never talked about it. I said, you're about to get married in like 60 days, and you haven't even talked about children. She said, I want 3 to 4 children. I want to be able to quit work and stay home, take care of children. And right there in front of me, he said, I don't want any children. I don't ever want any children. Not one time had they sat knee to knee and looked at each other and discussed the most critical element of their marriage, about children. So don't take it for granted. My wife knows what I'm doing. She knows how I feel. No, she doesn't, unless you tell her. And wives, tell your husband how you feel. You need to share it now. Amen? Share it now with each other. Don't wait until, you know what happened? That couple didn't get married. They called it off. He was adamant about it. They separated after 5 and a half years. And I ran into her not too long ago. She said, I'm married now. I said, great. I said, did you and so-and-so work it out? She said, no. She said, I married somebody else because I wanted children, and he didn't. Let me give you just a little story of a little boy that was in a church play. It kind of capsulizes everything. This little boy, he was probably, again, in the first or second grade. He was going to be in the play, and it was going to be about Jesus and Jesus' life and ministry. And they were going to be doing the miracles in the play at church, and so everything was. This little boy had one line. He had one line in the whole play. It was when Jesus announces his ministry, and he says, I am the light of the world. That's all he had to say. I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So it came time for that little boy in the play. He was Jesus, and he was supposed to say, that's the only line he had. So he walks up, and he's got on his little robe, and he's supposed to look like Jesus, and his mother's in the front row. And he gets up there and he freezes and he can't think of his line. And his mother is trying to mouth it to him. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He's, huh? Huh? He keeps looking down at her, huh? Like that, huh? Finally, she has to just say it above a whisper. I am the light of the world. He says, oh! I know, my mama is the light of the world. You want your wife to be the light of the world? Treat her like Jesus would. Let's bow as we pray. Father, we thank you that you created the family. You created all that we see around us. And you sent man to be the caretaker, the woman to be the helpmate, to be his partner, the children to be able to bring joy and memories to the family. We're thankful for how you have so richly blessed mankind with the man, but the woman with children. What a beautiful unit of collaboration, of love, and sweetness that you have brought to all of us. We thank you for those godly mothers. We thank you, Lord, that you have so richly blessed us as children, mothers, fathers, to be a part of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing hymn number 634, Lord, I'm Coming Home, number 634. We invite you to come if you'd like to pray or whatever decision you might make today. Let's stand as we sing together.